We're turning God's Word this morning to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, the text this morning will be verse 13. We'll read the entire psalm. It's another outstanding psalm declaring to us the mercy of our God. Psalm 103. This is the inspired Word of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Thus far we read God's word. As I said, the text this morning is verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. One of the terms that we often use for our homes is that we call our homes covenant homes. Sometimes there are words that we use that describe things in our spiritual lives that we use frequently, but always don't consider so much what they mean. And this may be one of those terms. What does it mean when we speak of our covenant homes? What is a covenant home? Well, first of all, a covenant home is a home in which you find believers. Once you find believers and often their seed as well, their children. So if there are those in those homes that understand and know that they have a relationship of friendship with God. They've been brought into that relationship of friendship by God's grace. And because that is true then, that covenant home seeks to be modeled after the relationship of friendship that God has with us. Or to put it this way, as those who are God's children, we're part of His home. And so we seek to model our homes after the home that we have with God and the relationship that we have with God. You see, we are brought into the family of God by adoption. God is our Father and we are His children. And what that means is that God loves us. And because He first loved us, we love Him. And we want our covenant homes then to mirror this relationship of love and friendship because the focus of our covenant homes is God and His glory. And God is glorified in our homes when our homes are modeled after His covenant. Part of what must be modeled in our covenant homes is the pity and the mercy of Jehovah by fathers. That's what we consider in the text this morning. Many fathers in the world today know nothing of mercy. But we understand that in our homes, we want our homes to be modeled after God's covenant with us, and we as fathers have a calling then specifically to model the mercy that God our Father has shown to us and our families. That is an important word today because fatherhood is under attack in the world in which we live. Increasingly, fatherhood and biblical manhood are under attack. And it's very easy for us to get our ideas of what it means to be a man and what it means to be a father from the world around us instead of going from the perspective of the Word of God. And so there are fathers in the world today who basically take no interest in their families. They live for themselves. They live to have fun and to enjoy the things of this world. That ought not to be the way we are as fathers. There are other fathers who are known for their strict rule. And in their strict rule, they're even abusive. Abusive verbally and abusive physically as well. In this way, fatherhood has been distorted and changed in the world in which we live. But the characteristic of true fatherhood, of godly fatherhood, that we consider this morning is this. A godly father is a merciful father. He's a father who takes pity, who has compassion upon his children and upon his wife. Men, the Word of God that we consider this morning calls us to be merciful and compassionate. Teach our sons that. That may be surprising to us a bit, that would be an important, even a chief characteristic of fatherhood, but that's what the text is telling us this morning. As the focus of the text, of course, is the mercy of our Heavenly Father. That's the focus. It is. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. The focus is on Jehovah God, His pity and mercy and compassion for us. That's the context as well. That's the psalm is declaring the mercy of Jehovah God for us. But now what the text says to us as it applies that truth to us as fathers is that we must be merciful as fathers. So those are the two things we're going to look at this morning. First, we're going to see the beautiful mercy of Jehovah our Father, and then see how that applies to us as fathers in our homes, and more broadly then to mothers in the home as well, and the life of the home as well. So we consider this morning a father's pity. We look first at the beautiful virtue, secondly at the distinct activity, and then finally at the great necessity. What we look at this morning is a beautiful virtue, an attribute of our God. The attribute of God that we consider this morning is pity. Now, we should take notice of that in contrast to the way in which the world today would look at pity. Pity is despised in the world in which we live today. Who wants pity from others? In our age of pride and self-dependence and selfishness, pity would be considered demeaning and condescending. So that people, if they're pitied, would say, "Don't pity me. Don't take pity upon me. I don't want your pity." Those who maybe have some weaknesses or some handicap, they would say, "Don't pity me, but respect me." The poor of our day don't want pity. Instead, they say, "Give me action. Give me money. Give me a place to sleep. Give me food, but I don't want your pity." And the reason is that the notion of pity in their minds means that you look down upon them and it's degrading to them. So pity in our society is a negative word. It has negative connotation. But that's not the way we ought to look at this word this morning. Instead, what we ought to see is something beautiful. Because when we consider the word pity, we're considering, first of all, something that our God, our Father in heaven, shows to us. He is a God who is merciful and compassionate and loving. That's the idea of pity, mercy and compassion. This is the kind of Father that He is. That's the focus, first of all, this morning, what kind of Father He is. In Psalm 116, verse 5, the verse that we read at the very beginning of our worship service this morning, it declares that beautiful truth about God, that He is merciful. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. That's the kind of God we serve and the kind of God we know. This means that God is filled with tender compassion. That's the idea of this word pity. It's one of the words for God's mercy that we find in the Old Testament. And first of all, what this means is that He is filled with tender affection for Himself as the one who is supremely good. So this mercy exists within God Himself. But we come to know the mercy of God as He shows mercy to us. And that's where the mercy of God is especially on display, as He shows mercy to His sinful children. What is this mercy? What is this pity then towards us? It's God's love in the form of tender affection for those who are miserable in their sin. We see something beautiful about our God this morning. He's merciful to sinners. He's merciful to sinners. He's not a God of wood or stone who is untouched by our misery. But when He sees our misery, the misery of our sin, He shows compassion to us. He never ceases to show mercy to us. Let that sink in this morning. He never ceases to show pity and mercy to us. Lamentations 3 speaks of that. Every morning, His mercies and loving kindnesses are new to us. Although we've walked in great sin the day before, everything we do is stained with sin, every morning His mercy is new to us, and that doesn't change as long as we live our lives here on this earth. He continues to show mercy and pity to us. And the Scriptures are full of this language of the mercy of our God. There are Psalms not only that declare that beautiful truth, but if there's one book that's outstanding in the Bible as it declares the mercy of God to us as people, it's the book of Isaiah. I'd like to call your attention to a few passages in the book of Isaiah which declare the mercy of God, that those passages may sink into our hearts and into our souls. We begin first in Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. And then a few chapters after that as well we'll look at. Isaiah 49, verses 13 and 15. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted His people and will have mercy upon His afflicted. Then verse 15, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. That's a declaration of the mercy of God. He will not forget us. Then we go to Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54, verse 8. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. Notice, everlasting kindness He shows to us. It never ends, even though we sin against Him. And verse 10 as well. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. That's part of the covenant relationship we have with God. He is merciful to us in the covenant. Then Isaiah 55, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for for he will abundantly pardon. That speaks of the activity of God's mercy. He pardons our sins. Then finally, Isaiah 60, verse 10. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Think of how striking and beautiful these words were to the people of Israel when the prophet Isaiah spoke them to them. Because remember that the people of Israel were walking in great sin. They were worshiping idols. They were walking contrary to God's law. They were walking in all kinds of immorality and sin. God spoke words of judgment to them because of that. He said the captivity will come. They will be taken captive. But that wasn't the last word of God to them. He spoke to them as well of his mercy, that although there would be that time of captivity, they would return and he would care for them and he would continue to love them and he would continue to show mercy for them. And those are the words that we've read in those verses in the book of Isaiah. And these words then of God to us are so humbling because we deserve his wrath and his anger. You see, what's striking about God's mercy is that this mercy, as he takes pity upon us in our misery, is not for those who don't deserve his wrath. You see, in our sin, we've willingly chosen that way, which is contrary to the law of God, and which brings all kinds of misery. There may be a man who we've seen sitting in the gutter on the street. And he's in the gutter, he doesn't have a home, he has nothing to his name because of drugs, because of drunkenness. And we might say it'd be hard for us to take pity on such a man, the man's done it to himself. But when we see such a man, we're looking in the mirror at ourselves before God. We've done it to ourselves. We've brought this misery of sin upon ourselves in our sin, and yet Jehovah God is merciful to us. Day after day after day, he shows mercy to us and takes pity upon us, although we attack his majesty and goodness in our sin, although we rebel against him in our sin. And he loved us so much, and he took such great mercy upon us, that he gave his Son, who gave his life for us. As we look at this pity and mercy of the Lord for us, we see too that this is not for all. The text itself makes that clear. Psalm 103, verse 13 makes that clear when it says, "So the Lord pitieth them that fear him." It's not for all, but neither does that mean that if we do something, then the Lord will take pity upon us. But the idea is that the Lord takes pity upon his children. Who are those who fear him? Well, his people fear him. They know the forgiveness of sin. They've been turned in their hearts and turned in their lives to fear him, to live before him in service. They are those who are sorry for their sins and repent of their sins. That's what we read in the book of Isaiah as well. He takes pity upon those who repent of their sins. That's the way in which we experience the wonderful mercy of God. But the point we have to see is that God's mercy is not for all. God's mercy is particular. It's reserved only for his children. And that's the beauty of his mercy. And as we see it this morning, another display of his mercy is how he works in the line of generations, isn't it? None of us as parents or grandparents can claim we deserve to have believing children, believing grandchildren. None of us can claim that before the living God, because of our own sin. And yet God is faithful, working in the line of generations. That's a display of his mercy. Psalm 103 speaks of that as well in verse 17. "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children." There's the mercy of our God. Now this morning, as we see this mercy of God, the compassion and pity that God takes upon us in our misery, the misery of our sin, the idea of the text for us as we apply it is that this mercy and compassion of God must be seen in the Christian father. An earthly, godly father must be an example of this pity and mercy of God. The idea here, fathers, is that you and I are called to reflect in our parenting and as fathers, the fatherly pity of our Heavenly Father that we know. But just in the introduction, maybe that's surprising to us that that is the chief characteristic of fatherhood, but it is. It's set before us here in the context of the beautiful mercy of God that we as fathers are to show this mercy towards our children and our children's children. Maybe you and I would think that our chief calling is to be a provider, to provide for them. Well, we have that calling, but that's not the chief calling that we have. We must, as fathers, provide for our children the basic necessities of life. Or maybe we think as fathers, my calling is to be the enforcer. I'm called to be the enforcer. Things are maybe chaotic through the day. Children are getting on the nerves of mom. And dad comes home and he's the enforcer. He's going to set things straight. He's going to lay down the law. He's going to make sure that the children respect their mother. And fathers must do that. They must make the laws for the home. Let's make sure the children obey those laws. But this is not the chief calling of fathers that comes out here. There's something to that. It's even part of this calling. But we have to understand that we are called to be merciful. We are to pity our children. And let us not think that that's something for wimps or that that's something for the mothers in the home. Though the Word of God says to us as fathers, this is what we are called to do. We must be merciful. What that means is that we as fathers take pity upon our children, knowing that they are sinners, even as we are. We take pity upon them. What that means then in our lives is that we do not push our children away. We must not be abusive to our children. We must not think that being merciful and compassionate is something for mothers. No, it's something for us as fathers. We must have the desire that our children, as they walk in sin, would be delivered from their sin. That's what this compassion is all about. Our Father takes mercy on us. He's pitiful to us in delivering us from our sins. So also we then have that desire that our children would be delivered from their sins. So we go to them understanding the weakness that's in them because of our own weakness, and we address their sin with mercy and compassion. We address their sin in the understanding that we are sinners too, and that doesn't mean, well, we just kind of let it go because after all, I've done the same thing. No, we are those who've learned about our sin and learned about the cross and learned about forgiveness and learned about how there is deliverance from our sins. So in that compassion that our Heavenly Father has shown to us, we go to our children and point out their sin and do that in compassion. Not to hurt them. Not because I'm aggravated and I've had enough of it and I'm sick of all of the yelling and the screaming and the fighting that goes. No, it's not about me. It's about showing mercy and compassion to them so that they would understand their sin, so that they would see the beauty of the cross, so that they would cry out to God for deliverance from their sins. That's the compassion and mercy that we fathers must show to our children. That's the idea that you have in the New Testament as well. In Ephesians chapter 6, where of course there's the calling to children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's the first verse of Ephesians 6. But verse 4 then, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Really what's behind that admonition there, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, is fathers, be merciful. Be merciful to your children. This is our calling as fathers because we are to pattern our fatherhood after the fatherhood of God Himself. And that's always true for the Christian life. Okay, we're just taking the broad principle of the Christian life and applying this now to fathers. The Word of God is doing that. The Word of God does that throughout, doesn't it? Be holy, for I am holy, God says. We're to be holy because God is holy, and we belong to Him, and He is our God. That's true in marriage. In marriage, we're to reflect the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ and our God through Jesus Christ. Marriages are to reflect that. They're to mirror that. So also, that's true for us as fathers. Are we as fathers known for our mercy? God says to us this morning, fathers, I've shown mercy and compassion to you, my son. Now you as a father, show that same mercy and compassion to your children so that they may learn of God's mercy through you. And that's the question for us. Are our children and grandchildren learning of God's mercy through us? There's something very important for us as fathers then. To be faithful in this calling, fathers, we must know God. Now we do know God, but that means as well that we must be growing in our knowledge of God. To be faithful in this calling means we must first have a healthy relationship with God, our Father. We as fathers ought to be dedicating ourselves to growing in the knowledge of God. We ought to be dedicated to studying the Word. Are we doing that, men? Are we in the Word daily ourselves before we go off to work in the morning? Maybe you're having a little bite to eat, a bowl of cereal, whatever it is. Do you have the Bible propped up there? You're reading the Word, and are you in prayer to begin your day? We need to be. Why? Because that's the way in which God strengthens us. That's the way in which we learn about our Father. And we then, as we learn about Him, will have grace and strength through that Word to apply that to our lives. That sets the tone for the day. We must be growing in the knowledge of God so that our children would see in us on a daily basis that we are merciful as our Heavenly Father is merciful. I believe that the Word of God is given here just because there's a great danger for some of us as fathers that we would be harsh and abrasive with our children. And the Word of God knows what we need here. It knows what we need to be turned from that harshness and abrasiveness so that we would be merciful fathers. But now we turn again to the mercy of our God. We've looked at what that mercy is. We've looked at that beautiful virtue. But we also ought to see the activity of that mercy of our God to us. And as we look at the mercy of our God to us, we must understand as well that God's mercy to us is not in conflict with His justice. You see, God is a just God. We know that. What that means is that God is a just God, must punish sin. The psalmist in Psalm 103 gives glory to God and praise to God for His justice. We read that in verse 6. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. God is a righteous judge and a righteous God. What that means is that Jehovah punishes sin. He will punish the wicked for their sins. But that means also that He will punish our sins. He is a just God. He cannot simply sweep our sins under the rug. They must be punished. But just as God is just, He is also merciful. And those two are not in conflict. He is merciful as He satisfies His justice. We know that. The mercy and justice of God meet at the cross. For there, all of our sins were paid for. The punishment for all of our sins was poured out there. We see the justice of God at the cross, but also the mercy of God, because that justice of God was not borne by us, but it was borne by the One who He gave in our place, our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the mercy that Psalm 103 is speaking of in such a beautiful way. We know the words so well, don't we? Verses 8 and following. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Oh, how beautiful those words are, packed there with the mercy of God. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Why not? Because he did at the cross of Jesus Christ. And this is the result of that. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And that leads us then into the text that we consider this morning. This is all a display of the activity of God's mercy. What does God do in his mercy? He saves us from our sins. He pardons our sins on the basis of the blood of his Son. And what moves God to pardon our sins on the basis of the blood of Jesus Christ? It is his mercy. What a beautiful mercy of our God. Mercy is God's love in action to deliver us from our misery. See, mercy is not just an attitude of God. It's the activity of God saving us from the misery of our sin. And why does God do this? Well, he does this so that we may enjoy friendship with him forever. You see, part of the idea of God's mercy is that in his mercy and compassion, he draws us to himself. He draws us to his own bosom. Just as a father holds his child and takes his child and carries that child, that's what our Heavenly Father does to us. He's taking us to himself. He lives in us now, but remember, through all of this life, what he's doing is drawing us to himself until finally we will be with him in heavenly glory. One of the outstanding passages that reminds us of this mercy of God is the parable of the prodigal son. Remember how the faithful father received his wayward son. He received him with pity and mercy. So that when his wayward son, who took his inheritance and spent it all in riotous living, when that wayward son was far off, we see that the father was watching for him. And before the son could even say a word or enter the door of the home, the father went out to him and wrapped his arms around his son and kissed his son. He loved his son. He was merciful to his son. He didn't say to his son, "I'm glad you finally came to your senses. Now hurry up and get in the house before the neighbors see this. I want to try to hide this from the neighbors." No, he wasn't about that. He wasn't about his reputation, what the neighbors thought about him, or anything like that. But what he was concerned with was the intimate relationship of friendship. And so he threw his son a banquet upon his return. That's a merciful father. It declares the mercy of our Father and how we are to be merciful as fathers. That activity of our merciful Father is the activity that we as fathers are to show to our children so that our children may see the mercy of God shining in us. What that means for us as fathers is that we are to cultivate an intimate relationship of friendship with our children that exemplifies the relationship that we have with God. That's the question for us as fathers. Are we doing that? Are we cultivating a relationship of friendship with our children? Not that we are buddies with them. No, we understand God's placed us over them. But still, there's a relationship of love and friendship that we are to have with our children. So that we should never be saying, they just get on my nerves. Like, I have to get out of here. We shouldn't be that way as fathers. But as fathers, we should be willing to set aside our own desires, the things that we would want to do, so that we can spend time with our children. That also means that we want to deal with sin in a right way. The activity of God's mercy towards us is not only drawing us to himself, so we want to draw our children to ourselves, but it's doing that in the way of taking care of sin in a right way. Mercy does not mean ignoring sin. That's the way the world would speak of mercy. They'd use the toleration language of today. And we have to tolerate everything and kind of just let everything go and expect that our children will grow out of these things that they are dealing with. We don't look at our children that way. We understand our children are sinners. We understand that because we are sinners. They got their sinful natures, after all, from us. So we understand that they are going to sin. As merciful fathers, then, we want to deal with that sin in the way that God deals with us in our sin. So we don't push them away. We're not about shaming our children into obedience. We ought not to be. We should not be trying to manipulate our children into obeying us and turning from sinful ways. But what we're about as fathers is speaking to them with the Word of God in a kind and compassionate way about their sin. Teaching them about repentance. And teaching them as well that when they go to God crying out for forgiveness, that He forgives sins in the blood of Jesus Christ. We should not only teach them about God's love and mercy with our words, but teach them about God's love and mercy with our actions and the way in which we speak to them. One of the things that we should tell our children, fathers, is that we will always love them, no matter what. Have you told your children that? I'll always love you no matter what you do. Be assured of that. Now, not only should we tell them that, but we should show them that. Because that's what our God says to us. That's what our God promises to us. My mercies will be new each day. I will continue to love you with an everlasting love, and that will not change. That doesn't excuse sin. It makes sin okay. And we teach our children that too. But they should know that we will always love them because our God always loves us, no matter what. And so when they are humble and they repent of their sins too, we forgive them and we tell them that we forgive them for their sins. That's what we must do as fathers in the understanding of our own sinfulness and weakness. We must never forget, fathers, that we must live our lives as those who know Jehovah God. We should apply this more broadly to our lives. Really, biblical manhood is about being merciful. And we should be consistent in that in our lives. So our children see that in other areas of our lives as well. They should see that especially in the relationship that we have with our wives. That we're merciful. We're kind and compassionate towards them. Are you? Be kind and compassionate toward your wife. She has weaknesses. She's sinful. There are things she's going to do over and over again because you and I, as sinners, do things over and over again. But are you merciful and compassionate and understanding of her and helpful to her instead of being harsh and abusive towards her? We must show mercy to the wives that God has given to us, so that our children will learn from that too and see in that marriage the mercy that God has shown to us. If we are not consistent in our own lives in showing mercy to those who are around us, our children will see that and they will become cynical not only about us, but in the end, that may result in their being cynical about God Himself. Because they will not see that mercy of God shining through in our lives. So as those who see and know the activity of God's mercy, let us show that in our lives as well. This is a great necessity for us in our lives. It's a great necessity because this mercy is found in God Himself. Just to summarize that, remember, God is merciful. He's mercy in choosing us in Christ. He's merciful in giving His Son to die for our sins. In His mercy, He preserves us and protects us so that we're brought to see our sins and to confess our sins before Him, and through that we are made to see and know the greatness of His mercy to us. We deserve His wrath, and He showers us, He pours out upon us His mercy. What a great God and a wonderful Father He is. Now the point is, fathers, and the point is, mothers, the point is, parents, and the point is, people of God, in all of your relationships, those who know the mercy of God will be merciful. That's what Jesus teaches in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful. Matthew 5, verse 7 speaks of that. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. In the way of being merciful, we will experience the mercy of God. Those who are truly overwhelmed with the grace and mercy of God will show that in their lives to others. May that be true of us. Because in this way, then, God is glorified. You see, in the end, it all comes back to God. When we're showing mercy as fathers, when we're showing mercy in our marriages, when we're showing mercy in our relationships, it all goes back to God, because that mercy is the mercy of God Himself. And God is glorified. Now this morning we've heard this word of God's mercy and our calling to be merciful. And if you're like me, you leave here somewhat wounded this morning. As fathers, we may be wounded to the degree that we've not shown this mercy in our lives. I'm wounded by the Word of God. There may be others who are wounded because they've been on the receiving end of fathers who have been harsh and abusive, or husbands who have been harsh and abusive, who've not been merciful like they should be. We may be wounded by that harshness. Those wounds hurt too. They leave scars that are there for our, maybe for our lifetime here on this earth. But the question for us this morning, as we have these wounds and these scars, is how do we deal with that? Well, in the end, we go to our merciful Father. We pray for forgiveness where we have been unfaithful. We pray for healing mercy where we've been wounded, so that we would not associate that sin with God Himself. But instead, we would see and understand that we have a Father and we have a husband who is perfect, who is merciful, who is kind and compassionate. And He understands the hardships that we go through. And let us not respond by hurting them. But when we are hurt by others, let us respond with the mercy of God, because that is how God responds to us when we sin against Him. And let us now be committed to living to show our Heavenly Father's mercy, so that our children, so that our spouses, and so that those who are around us might see it and rejoice and give glory to our Father in heaven for the greatness of His mercy in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we cry out this morning giving thanks for Thy mercy. That mercy which is revealed most fully in Jesus Christ, a mercy that Thou hast showed to us faithfully day after day after day, even though we sin. And we pray for grace then, that we would show that mercy to others, that we as fathers here in this church would be merciful fathers, displaying the mercy of Thee, our God. And we pray that our children would see that mercy and love that mercy and show that mercy themselves. Father, forgive us where we've been unfaithful. All this we pray in the assurance of Thy love and Thy mercy in Jesus Christ. Amen.